of all the things that we could say or share about Christmas season, the recurring theme just came to my mind over and over and over and over again from the Lord, I'm sure, is that we should come and approach Christmas with worship on our hearts and our minds. So I'm going to attempt to bring a message this morning about, oh, worship the King. That's exactly what took place on the first Christmas. Turn, please, with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. And you see the worship here that's involved as the wise men came to find and to meet the baby Jesus. Baby King Jesus it is. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. In its truest form, the real meaning of Christmas is worship. Why did the three wise men come to find the baby King Jesus? Was to worship him. Christmas is not just about giving or receiving gifts. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mean to make derogatory statements about that. But Christmas is all about worshiping our King. Worshiping our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there were gifts given on that first Christmas, but you notice something about the gift giving. It wasn't giving and receiving. Those gifts were given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, our greatest gift they ever received and we ever received was and is our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Well, to make this Christmas the greatest, most meaningful Christmas you've ever experienced in your life, let it revolve around what the wise men said. We've seen His star in the east, and we've come to worship Him. Wouldn't it be just wonderful if we did the same thing today that they did then? Turn from ourselves and turn to the King, our newborn King, Jesus. They came to worship, and worship indeed they did. I trust you've come to worship today, and worship indeed we will do that, won't we? To worship our King. One of the names that they gave Jesus was Emmanuel, which means literally God with us. That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? God being with us, and God was with them on that particular day. That first Christmas celebration was all about God coming from the very portals of glory and being born of a virgin and giving His life later on to atone for our sins. All about the coming of God with us, isn't it? Every Christian celebration should be about the same thing, shouldn't it? About God being with us. Just think with us. The King of Kings has come to be with us. The Lord of all lords has come to be with us. The only true and living God has come to be with us. Let's think back to those few days, that celebrated morning when the wise men came. Think back with me. And let's just see a part of God's great plan that He made and that He devised to bring Himself to us in the form of a little baby called Jesus. King Jesus, I'm going to call Him. When you see part of the plan that God had made and that God brought to completion in those days, it'll help us, I think, to more perfectly, you might say, worship our Lord Jesus as King as we should. It might make this Christmas the most meaningful Christmas that you've ever spent in your life. Many things could be shared. I just want to share three things rather briefly. I want to share, first of all, with us the references to the King. Now listen, almost every book in the Old Testament made either a literal or implied reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that He was going to come to this earth. It's very clear all through the Old Testament. It was saying, the King is coming, the King is coming, the King is coming. Jesus didn't just slip into this world unannounced in some secret place called Bethlehem in some little secret corner of a cattle stall somewhere. He just slipped into this world. No, he was announced. He was referenced for hundreds and hundreds of years. He was prophesied that he was going to come all the way back from Genesis 3:15. The first reference that I can find in the scriptures of the Lord Jesus coming was Genesis 3:15, where it says, talking about the Lord and the devil, that Jesus is to be the seed of the woman, that there'll always be enmity, a warfare between his seed and their seed of the devil. It says that the devil would bruise Jesus' heel, but Jesus would bruise his head. That's the first reference to the coming of the Lord. There's just so many references in the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ who is to come. I couldn't even begin to name them all, but let me, bear with me, rejoice with me in some of the titles that were given to Jesus from the Old Testament. Indeed, he was referenced first of all as a seed of woman, the seed, of course, of the Virgin Mary. He was Moses' deliverer. He was Jeremiah's branch. He's the day star. He's a bright and morning star. He was Joshua's Savior. He's the Lord God of Sabaoth, the Lord God of spiritual armies. Yet I believe Isaiah summed it up in Isaiah 9:6 when Isaiah said, "For unto us a child," he called Jesus a child, "is born. Unto us," he said, "a son," the Son of God, God Himself, "a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Well, he's the root of Jesse also, isn't he? Amen. He's a star of David, the lily of the valley. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, we could just go on and on and on the precious names that were given to the Lord Jesus Christ. They referenced the coming of the King to the earth, to our hearts, to us. God's with us, the King of Kings, Jesus. It's the name that every knee shall bow unto. Why not bow today and worship Him as the wise men? They fell down before Him, the Bible says, and they worshiped Him. Why not today fall down before Him? Because one day, all of humanity that's ever been born will get on their knee, they'll bend that knee, and they'll bow that head, and they'll acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Hitlers will bow. The criminals will bow. All will bow at that name, the name of Jesus. A worthy name to be worshipped. No other name is worthy to be worshipped other than that name. Who was born on Christmas Day of the Virgin Mary, conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit of God. From the reference to the King, I want to move to a second thought on the revealing of the King. It says over in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "In the fullness of time," Brother Jim talked about God's timing this morning in Sunday school. God doesn't do anything haphazardly. God always plans. God always has a certain time. And it says in Galatians 4:4, "In the fullness of time." Whose time? Our time? No. God's time, in the fullness of God's timing, in the fullness of God's planning. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4 that God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, to redeem us who are under the curse of sin. So He revealed the King to us on Easter, Christmas, mainly that morning. God, our King, has been revealed to us. God Himself revealed Himself to us in the form of human flesh. As never before had God revealed Himself to mankind as He did on that day. God came and He revealed Himself to us in the form of a little baby, Jesus Christ in the flesh, conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit of God and born as no other birth had ever been before, and there never will be another birth like that. A very unique plan of God. How God so meticulously planned every detail of the coming of the King, and then He revealed Him to us on Christmas morning. How God had a meticulous plan, but a miraculous birth that our Lord Jesus had. Never again would there be one like it. See, God didn't want us to mistake the coming of the King. There could be no mistake as to who Jesus is, because He'd been announced hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before in references, and then God revealed Himself to us in the form of that baby. You see, in the Old Testament, God kept saying, "The King is coming, the King is coming, the King is coming." And on Christmas morning, then the angel said, "The King has come." He was referenced, but then He was revealed to us. But there's a third thing I want to share with you. The response to the coming of the King. In the book of Matthew, the wise men came, and it was a considerable time later, probably maybe up to a year or so, close to a year, when they came and found the Lord Jesus. A lot of folks think they came to the stable and worshiped Him there. No, no, no. No, they came to the house. The response to the King. Well, the wise men came. They knew that star in the east was the star of the King. It was the King's star that guided them from the east all the way to, the Bible says, to the house, to the very place where Jesus lay. And they come to the house at the guiding of the star, and they find the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice something about their visit. They brought with them gifts. They brought gold, they brought frankincense, and they brought myrrh. Listen, they came to pay tribute to a king. They brought expensive gifts. They didn't come just to find the King. They came to worship the King. That's exactly the same thing we ought to be doing today. We have found the King, we who know Him. Or let's say He's found us, rather. We know Him. Why don't we then come to worship Him as they came to worship Him? Their gifts to Him are very significant gifts. Not just to them, and not just to that day in which they came. Those gifts are so significant to us that we need to take them and look at them in very minute detail and see what it was they were bringing to the King and why they brought what they did and what it really represented. Let it apply to them. Let it then move up through the ages and let it apply to us. Look at those gifts. They brought, first of all, gold. Gold was the most expensive metal known to mankind in that day. So they brought the most expensive gift that could be obtained by mankind, and they brought it as a tribute to the King. The gold signifies, as they brought it, it signifies they brought it to sovereignty. They brought it to a king. They brought it to the ruler. They brought it to the leader, the one and only true living God. They brought gold, a gracious, gracious gift. Expensive gift they brought, and it represents the sovereignty of the King. What does that gold signify to us today? Anything? Or is it just to the wise men? No. It's significant to us. They brought Him the greatest wealth that they had to bring Him. So when we come to worship our King today, we ought to bring the greatest wealth that we have in our possession and bring it and give it to the King. Jesus deserves our first fruits, not our leftovers. Very significant it is. Gold. They brought the best they had. They brought valuable gifts. He deserved all the gold that could be heaped up in this world. It would never be enough to signify His sovereignty. He's Lord God sovereign over all the world and everything you can see and everything you can't see. But they brought a second gift. They brought frankincense. We're not familiar with that today. Frankincense was an expensive perfume. Did you know frankincense was only used in the temple. When frankincense was burned in the temple, it was a direct reference to God only. It was only used when it was a sweet smelling savor up to God. So when they brought frankincense and gave it to Jesus, it signified not just His sovereignty, it signifies His deity, that they brought this gift to God, the King. Frankincense also was used to anoint dead bodies in the decaying process after death. So the gift of frankincense also represented Jesus' forthcoming death in just a few 30-some years. What does frankincense, or what should frankincense say to us today? That when we come to worship our King, we're to bring Him our wealth. We're also to bring Him our worship. They came to worship the King. We've come today to worship the King, none other than King Jesus. But they also brought Him a third gift, frankincense and gold. And it says they brought Him myrrh. Myrrh. Gold signified His sovereignty. Frankincense signified His deity. But myrrh signifies His humanity. Myrrh was a bitter herb. And whether you know it or not, on the cross when Jesus was dying for your sins and mine, they stuck a pole up with a sponge on it, with a liquid, it says. That liquid that they stuck to Jesus' lips was vinegar mixed with myrrh. And the Bible says Jesus refused it. When they came to bring Jesus the gift of myrrh, it represented the bitter suffering that one day He would go through to give His life for your sins and for mine. The worst humiliation that mankind could ever inflict on anyone was inflicted on Jesus Christ. How bitter was His suffering for you and for me. When we come to worship today and think about the gift of myrrh, think about the bitter suffering that our Lord went through that you and I might be free today. And the Son has made me free, and I'm free indeed. Amen. Listen, Jesus our King was born a naked little baby. And when Jesus went to the cross, on the cross He died a naked Savior. You know, the artists are pretty kind to us over the years. They've painted a loincloth around Jesus' midsection. But when Jesus hanged on the cross, He was naked, stripped of all clothing, exposed as no one could be exposed to great humiliation. He was born a naked little baby, and He died a naked Savior on the cross. So in regard to some of these things this Christmas season, won't you join with me? Won't you join with me and worship the King? Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the King. Oh, come with me and worship the King. Praise Him, magnify Him, exalt Him, lift Him up. The myrrh should also represent to us a witness. Gold signified His sovereignty. Frankincense signified His deity. And myrrh represented His humanity, and it should be our wealth brought to Him, our worship brought to Him, and our witness to Him given out to everybody we can. So won't you witness to somebody throughout this Christmas season and tell them the King has been promised, but oh, the King has come. And listen, He's coming again, not as a baby, not as a naked Savior on a cross being humiliated. When He comes again, He'll come in the realms of glory, and all the holy angels of God's going to come with Him. He's not going to come to be humiliated. He's going to come to rule and to reign on this earth for 1,000 years and take us to glory and be with Him forever and ever and ever. That's what Christmas is all about. Amen. Praising Him, thanking God, worshiping Him. The wise men got it right. They came to witness. And in wonder they worshiped. Why don't we come today for that same reason? And I promise you, if you do, it will be the best, most meaningful Christmas you will ever have had in your life. No reason why we can't do that unless you don't know Him. If you don't know Him, you can't worship Him. You can't praise Him. Can't exalt Him. The greatest thing you could do for Him is just bring your life to Him and lay it down at the foot of the cross and give your life, the gift of yourself. Give it to Him. And He'll accept it and bless you, and then you join with us and we can all together sing praise to God. What about how you're going to spend Christmas this year? Oh, giving of gifts is wonderful. Receiving gifts are wonderful. But the greatest thing we can do is fall down before our King and worship Him. He is worthy of all our praise. The Bible says both now and forever, He's worthy. Let's worship Him. Amen. Let's stand together. Sister Pam, come secure our invitation today. I wouldn't be the pastor I need to be if I didn't extend an invitation for somebody to receive the King. He's come for that reason, to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. It would be a terrible travesty of spiritual teaching and preaching to not excite someone's heart to want to give their heart to Him or to speak to our heart and help us to worship Him in a meaningful way. So as we sing today, if God's moved on your heart about whatever matter it is, I want to join you here at the front and to help you, pray for you, pray with you, help you praise the Lord together that He might be exalted and have the preeminence this year at Christmas as He so deserves.